Our scripture this morning comes from the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul's letter, chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. It's not a short scripture, but Paul has a lot to say to us, to the church in Corinth, but also to the church here in Grand Junction. Let us listen for the word of God. Let us listen for words for ourselves, for our congregation, for our community, perhaps. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, if indeed when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to our consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now may God add a blessing to our hearing and receiving of this scripture. A lot of words there. Sharon, do you want to share something? We walk by faith, not by sight. Yep, that really stands out. We are ambassadors for Christ. Boy, that's a responsibility, huh? Good word. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means pulling relationships back together. Joanne? The word reconciliation, to reconcile all things to God and to each other. Joanne? Let your presence be real to us. Okay. Ronnie. Bringing in the sheep, not the sheaves, the sheep. Yes, that's part of our reconciliation. Bringing people here so they can reconnect with God. Well, God never forgets you. God is always calling each of his sheep, his children, together. Well, now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. One day, all the employees of a very unusual company arrived at their office and found a big sign on the main door which said this: "Yesterday, the person who has been hindering your growth in this company passed away. We invite you to join in the funeral in the room that has been prepared in the gym." Well, in the beginning, they all got sad for the death of one of their colleagues. But after a while, they got curious to know who that person was who hindered their growth and the company itself. In the gym, the excitement grew as more and more people approached the coffin. Everyone thought, "Who is this person who was hindering my progress?" One by one, the intrigued employees got closer to the coffin, and when they looked inside it, they suddenly became speechless, as if someone had touched the deepest part of their soul. There was a mirror inside the coffin. Everyone who looked inside could see themselves. A sign next to the mirror said, "There is only one person who is capable of setting limits on your growth, and it is you." Your life does not change when your boss changes, when your friends change, when your children change, when your husband or wife changes, when your company changes, when your church changes, when your location changes, when your money changes, when your status changes. No, your life changes only when you change. When you go beyond your stubborn habits and beliefs that hold you back. When was the last time you looked into that mirror? You just had a chance a moment ago when the scripture was read. The Apostle Paul's words to the people of Corinth, you see that is what this Bible is all about. It functions as a mirror, not to show how ancient people used to live, or even to show how an ancient God used to act. The Bible, the living Word of God, serves foremost as a mirror for you and me, to see yourself and your own relationship with God. From there, it is also a helpful lens for which to see the world as we work toward building a new world, as we work toward building a new kingdom, as the Bible speaks of it. Do you want to see the world renewed? How many, a poll question, how many would like to see the world renewed by God? Almost unanimous. Do you want to see God's kingdom, the new Jerusalem, established? Well, then you first must look in the mirror. You first must read and study the Bible, the living Word of God, the mirror. For the new world, the new Jerusalem, God's kingdom is and will be established one person at a time, one person becoming new. So will you join me as we together look in the mirror? When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, they were a divided people. As good disciples, they came from many different economic levels and different social and religious groups. Unfortunately, instead of letting those differences melt away in the presence of God's Word, they split up into different Sunday school classes and different worship services, not because one was more convenient than the other, but so they could stay with their friends, those of the same economic, social, and religious status, people who lived and thought the same way they did. The people at the early service ate all the fresh bread, we're told, and drank all the wine, and went home stuffed and a little tipsy. Those in the late service ate crumbs and left thirsty. And the Sunday school classes were never challenged. They just shared their ignorance and went home to the life the only way they could understand it. There was only one person who was holding each one of them back from a full, inspiring, joy-filled, faithful life in relationship with God, and that was themselves. Each one of them holding on to the only way of life they knew, the only way to worship they knew, the only way of being church that they knew. If they had only looked in the mirror, they would have seen that the earthly tent, their earthly way of doing things, was already destroyed. It was outdated. God had built a new house, a lifestyle with his own hands. If they would only look in the mirror, they would see how much they groaned, longing to become new. Paul had given them a glimpse in the mirror. They had a taste of the good life and didn't realize how much more there was to be enjoyed, how much better life could be. The Holy Spirit, given at their baptism, had given them a taste of eternity, a taste of kingdom living. But when the kingdom was not complete all at once, when they had to live into that lifestyle, into kingdom living, it just seemed easier to eat, sleep, dress, and worship the same old way they always had. They were given a glimpse. They knew what the kingdom might look like. But they didn't look in the mirror and see how far away they were and the direction their lives were taking them. How Paul longed for them to look in the mirror, to see themselves clearly and fully as God sees all of us. Walk by faith, not by sight, Paul admonished them. Remember that your true home is with Christ. Make your decisions. Live your life according to that destination, not according to what you see around you now. Live your life the same in this world as you would in heaven, in Christ's presence. In every choice you make, even today, you are judging yourself how your relationship with God stands. Just look in the mirror and see. Who is the one holding you back? God is calling all people into reconciliation with himself and with each other. God is calling each of us to look in that mirror with every decision, with every opportunity to draw close to God, with every chance to help someone near you. Read the Bible. Spend time with God. Pray in order to listen and connect with God through Jesus. Then reflect on how you are living. Are you finding joy and peace every day? Are you building strong relationships with the people in your life, giving more than you are taking? Are you feeling inspired to know God better and to get the most out of each day that is given? Are you looking at Jesus from a human point of view? Jesus, born out of wedlock, keeping company with outcasts, homeless people, other political parties. Jesus executed in the culture's most shameful manner. How much are you missing? Look in that mirror. Are you becoming new? Are you becoming a new creation with every decision you make, every step you take, every person you relate with, every need you come upon, every dollar you spend? Every breath you take is an opportunity to become new, to leave behind your fears, your failures, your bad feelings about yourself and others, your prejudices, your limitations, your old life, so that you can start anew. Will you look in the mirror? Will you leave behind the old, worn-out way of living? Will you leave behind the old way of looking at the world? Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Look in the mirror. In what ways are you becoming new? In what ways do you need to become a new creation? Look in that mirror. God is calling you. God is calling all creation. Are you becoming new? Take a look in the mirror. So our take-home question, along with those purple slips, actually, it's very closely related. What is one way that our church or yourself can become new? Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God, for calling us together, calling us to be your church, your hands and feet, your voice, your love, your Son, Jesus, for those around us, for each other. We thank you, O God, for bringing us together to be reminded of just how much you love each one of us so that we can celebrate, so that we can grow into that person that you are calling us to be, that new creation in Christ. We prepare now to come to the table that Jesus gave us. Prepare our hearts and our minds to be open to the new life that comes in that bread and in that cup. And with every breath we take, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.